cord. All right, would you turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 12? And I'd like to read verses 6 through 17 and cover some of the principles that are found in this chapter. I will be the first to admit there are some things in here. I don't know the time element, but I think just as all of the other scriptures, these things are applicable in any generation, in any age. They were applicable in the times of Cain and Abel. They were applicable all through the Old Testament, and they're applicable today. The principles that we find here, and the great providence of God when it comes to His church, He has a lot invested in His church. He has a lot invested in the church. The blood of Christ is invested in the church. And the security of the church is in the blood of Christ. And the longevity of the church is in the hand of God. So He has a lot invested. And we're going to find in this chapter that there are a number of things said with regard to God protecting His church, even though there's a lot of sand being kicked up by the adversary, by the devil, by the hearts of men that have no agreement with the gospel. It is very wrong, I think, on our part to blame any of our nature on the devil and our actions on the devil. He has never been able to get anybody to do anything. He may lay a temptation out as God allows, but he is never allowed to push beyond that. So we just can't blame it on the devil. And we find that religion so often does as a scapegoat for our own heart. All right, verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God. And I really appreciate what it says there, has a place prepared of God. This church, this woman is so valuable that God's going to take care of every entity of her, every child of hers, every member of hers. That they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, in that verse 12, there's an interesting statement. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. And over there in verse 7, it says there was a war in heaven. The citizens of heaven, there was a war, and there is a warfare there. And the protection is for the citizens of heaven. Whether that's another name for the church in this passage of Scripture, or whether it's the citizens of heaven, those that are preparing for their citizenship on this earth, whether it's those that are there and those that are preparing, I don't know. But there's something about those that are in heaven, as it says there in verse 12, Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. But woe to the other side. Woe to the earth. Therefore, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth. And he persecuted the woman which had brought forth the man child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, it's been said, and I have to just concur, that this whole world is just here. Everybody that is without Christ, everybody that's non-elect, everybody, every system of the world, every dollar and every peso is here for the God's protection of His church. The earth is used to take care of God's church. It's just another way of Him doing that. And it says here that the earth swallowed up that great flood. Now, I want to get to that point about what that flood is. I'm just convinced that that flood, as it proceeded out of the devil, is every heresy that's ever been thrown out to try to change the heart and core of the body of Christ. And it's been here, it's ongoing now, it's been ongoing. It was here at the time of Cain and Abel. There was a flood of the blood of Christ is not necessary. All right, there's some things I'd like to look at as we look at this passage of Scripture and God's protection of His church. And I'd like you to go back with me to the book of Joshua. We alluded to some of this in a couple of messages, a couple of times we were speaking. But I just wanted to go back here and pick out several passages where the Old Testament, and we find here what this passage of Scripture in the book of Joshua, and it's the same in all of the other books. Joshua just gives us some verses to look at. But we could go anywhere else in the Old Testament and see that it is typical of how God has taken care of His body. In the book of Revelation, He prepared a place. He gave two wings. He has swallowed up the flood. This is just time and time again statements of how the Lord is protecting His body, how He's protecting His church. And it is a conscious effort on God's part. It is a purposed effort on God's part to protect the truth, to protect His people, to protect His church, to protect His body, to protect His sheep. We're just talking about, Mike and I and Marilyn, how sometimes we do things that are foolish and we probably should have been dead over that. Well, the Lord protects His lost sheep, those who shall be heirs of salvation. He sends forth His messengers to protect them. And here in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, as the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and if we went just looked at the 10 plagues, we could say there was something special about this group of people. And we could say they were special because God was watching over them. They had no control over those plagues. They had no control over the darkness. They had no control over the flies. They had no control over any of those things. But there's a difference between the world and those that represent the church. They had light when everybody else had darkness. They didn't have all of these plagues spill over where they were. Go through Genesis. That's the way it is. God protected His people. He brought a man out of Ur of the Chaldees. He brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees. He protected His people down in Egypt. Now, some people would say, why did He let them go into slavery? Well, why did He permit the fall? For His glory. That's all I can say. For His glory He did that. He brought them out with a high hand and brought them and opened up the Red Sea, provided them food. Coming into the Promised Land 40 years later, here in the book of Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Now, this is just after Joshua has met this there was a man that had his sword drawn, and he is the captain of the Lord's hosts. Now, in chapter 6, verse 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. I've given it to you. Now, this is a principle that we find throughout the Old Testament. And I think that's one of the reasons that Jesus said to Nicodemus, are you a master of Israel and you don't know that things have to be done by God? Let's just turn just a little bit further here in the book of Joshua, chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 8 and verses 1 and 2. Now, Ai had been we got religion mixed in with righteousness. We had obedience disobeyed. And that Achan, and I think it was Greg Elmquist that brought out some of the meaning and significance of that Midianitish garment. It was a religious garment. And the gold was religious. And it was just... you don't mix this. You can't mix this. God's not going to allow it to be mixed. He's going to intervene. And he'll do that with his church, and even if he has to swallow up the flood with the earth. All right, and they went through that, lost some men, came back with their tails between their legs. Joshua just at wit's end. The Lord says, all right. The Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of the war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst to Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay ye thee an ambush for the city behind it. I've given you the city. A principle that we find throughout the scriptures that God does the work. This is something that's so hard for religion to even consider, because we're so involved in doing something. All right, chapter 10 of the book of Joshua, verse 5. Chapter 10. These are just some very basic examples found throughout the scriptures, but if you go to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you're going to find the same thing. And from Joshua through the kings, it's always the Lord displaying His glory by the mighty works that He did so that the people could get used to. The Lord does the work. And only the church has ever realized that completely. It is they that rest in the finished work of Christ. It is not to say that we don't serve Him, but when it comes to our relationship to God, when it comes to our righteousness, when it comes to our eternal life, the church is the only group on the face of the earth that has learned by revelation that work was done by Christ. The Old Testament is filled with examples, typical and pictorial, but when it comes to redemption, Christ finished His own work, and He gives it to us. All right, in Joshua chapter 10, verse 5. Joshua 10, verse 5. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, and the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, and they and all their hosts encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. The promise of God, one more time, typical and pictorial. Here it actually happened physically. But the value of God doing this spiritually, that He is the victor. He is the winner of the battles. In that same chapter, verse 30, it says, "And the Lord delivered into also the king thereof into the hand of Israel, and he smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did to the king of Jericho." The Lord left no enemies behind. You don't have to watch the back if all the enemies are destroyed. And here, it was a physical process, but it shares with us a spiritual blessing for the church. And that's brought out in the book of Revelation chapter 12. The church is given a place of protection. The church is given wings to flee there. The church is given time to be taken care of. The church is fed and nourished, physically speaking, by this world. And it's the world that God used to swallow up. There's a whole bunch of people that are going to take what that great red dragon spews out, and they're going to say hallelujah, but the church is protected from it and will not succumb to it. And if someone that portrays the feeling that they're a church, in the church, accepts that, before you know it, they're kicking up sand and they're leaving. That's just the way it happens. All right? Turn with me, if you would, over to Joshua 23. Joshua 23. In this chapter of Joshua, we find a recount of what the Lord, or part of a recount, what the Lord did. And it's so typical, God's wonderful protection of His church, as we witness here in Joshua, as it's carried out in the book of Revelation. And the people that this letter was written to, they are really having some serious persecution. John had some serious persecution. He's exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Now, those people that are having that persecution did not realize what a blessing it was to get that persecution, because John is giving this book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and they are the recipients of it. And they're going to be counseled through this persecution. God hasn't forgotten you. The Holy Spirit hasn't forgotten you. The Lord Jesus Christ hasn't forgotten you. You are in protective care and protective custody as a result of God's eternal, everlasting purpose for the church. You cannot be overthrown. Now, He may have taken some of them and put them to sleep so they can enter into glory. That's what He does. This whole life is in preparation for that. That the Lord would put us to sleep and enter us into glory. All right, notice here, Joshua chapter 23, verses 1, 2, and 3. "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel." Just think about that. The Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about them, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all the Israel, and for their elders and their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, "I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is He that hath fought for you." Let's just recount. Let's just go down the times. And if we sit and visited about this, we'd find out the times that the Lord has protected us, even though at the time it doesn't look like it. I cannot thank the Lord enough for that group of people that I was in when the Lord revealed Himself to me, being upset and kicking me out. I can't thank the Lord enough. There would be nothing worse than to have Christ and be stuck into religion and there settle for a while and say, "What am I doing here?" They says, "Hit the high road." Well, at the time, it really pinched. It chafed hard, and it was really hard. But in time, to look back and be thankful that it was the Lord that was protecting. He was had His eye out. He was doing what He needed to do and was going to do. And then in that same chapter, in verse 14, it says this, chapter 23, verse 14. And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. That's one thing that the people in the church, just because of the fall, don't pass by. I'm going the way of all the earth. And ye know in your hearts and in your souls. What a double emphasis. Joshua said to the people, you know in your hearts and in your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Now this is the last closing days of Joshua's life, and he's recounting. And after all of the business that he was about, not one regret. This the Lord gave us. Chapter 24 of that same book, it says here, verse 2, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord your God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And the Lord says, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan. Why did he bring up he worshipped other gods? He served other gods. He's a man born after Adam, and I did the difference. I made the difference. I brought him out. And I'm not going to read all of this, but just look in verse 4. And I gave unto Isaac, this is the Lord speaking, Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. Verse 5, I sent Moses. Verse 6, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And on it goes. Verse 8, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites. And verse 10, and I would not hearken unto Balaam. Step by step he goes through it. And it's no wonder that the Lord said to Nicodemus, are you a teacher in Israel and you don't know these things? That it's been God that did it all from the very beginning. He instructed Abel on what to bring. He didn't leave it to chance. If you leave it to chance, you're going to get Cain's offering. Well, let's see here. Well, let's just go back what I've been doing and go out and get some garden vegetables. He didn't leave it to chance. He determined what it would be. All right. There has ever been a war. There's always been a war. It's always constant. A war between the Lord and the Lord's people and the earth. They are not compatible. They can't sit together. They can't eat together. They can't feed together. They can't pray together. There is just so much difference that they just are incompatible. And that's why we read over there, you that dwell in heaven, here's the earth's portion. The earth's portion, you get the devil. The earth's portion, you get Satan. Earth's portion, you get him. Heaven's portion, you get Christ. You walk in Christ. You're led by Christ. You have the message of Christ. You have the gospel. The difference, the total difference there. Now, the church has been persecuted from the beginning with the water of heresy. We find there that it was Cain that persecuted the truth. I kind of believe this is just speculation because we don't have a lot about it, but Abel would have been just happy to present his sacrifice and go on with his sheep herding. He wasn't going to get in his brother's face. He understood, this is of God. I need blood. I need a substitute. I need a sacrifice. If it doesn't apply to him, I'm going to leave him alone. But the other brother, he got in his brother's face. He was upset. He knew that he was doing wrong. And he's the one that did the wrong. All right, now, turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Galatians as this great flood came out. Now, the first statement in Scripture that I find with regard to the human beings, and this heresy is Cain himself, by his sacrifice, said blood is not necessary. Works is necessary. Blood is not necessary. I don't need a sacrifice. I'll sacrifice my own vegetables, fruit of the ground, whatever he brought. It was a statement there. The warfare is on. I don't need. Abel said, I do need. I need a substitute. I'm a sinner and I need a substitute. I need blood. All this is typical and pictorial. And the Lord Jesus brings out a number of times that Abel's relationship with God, his blood cries out to me. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. There was a unity, a unanimity there between God and this man, Abel. Faith was given to him. He understood what this was about. It's not just an animal sacrifice. This is a pictorial sacrifice of his desperate need if he's going to approach God. Now, there has been throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament and years after the New Testament was completed and through the Dark Ages, there has been heresies coming out, and the goal of the spewers out of this great flood is to convert the church. Convert the church. We don't care what they believe, but we want them practicing like we do. And they proved it when they came to the New World. They'd take hundreds of thousands, get a conversion out of them, and send them to glory immediately before they could recant. That's how they did it. All right. Now, some of the first heresy, right after the apostles were gone, and we see it during the times of the Apostle Paul, but some of the first heresy was to deny the Godhead of Christ. I mean, it's in history. They had great meetings over it. And their great meetings organizer said, Christ isn't divine. He's not God. Well, the church is over here being lambasted by this flood, and God protects them. And all through this time, they're in the ark of safety, and they come out of every one of these bomb blasts of heresy holding forth the word of truth. Jesus said, my church, I've raised it up, I've established it, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that there won't be trouble, but they will declare the gospel to the end. Someone will be. There was the denial of original sin. Well, that's what Cain. It's not all that bad. Life's not all that bad. It wasn't. There wasn't that big a wreck in the garden. Even though I can just see Adam talking to his sons with tears. And one of them, God opened his heart and understood. And the other one says, well, it's not that bad. Dad's still alive. He's right over there. And then he could live to be 900 years old. It's not that bad. They denied the deity and the humanity of Christ. Denied the deity of the Holy Spirit. Denied the necessity of the Holy Spirit. And on, these great wise groups of people got together, denied these things that are so pertinent and so vital to the gospel message. Well, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Galatians chapter 1. You know where I'm going. You know what I'm going to read. The Apostle Paul had this problem during his ministry. And he's led by the Holy Spirit to say this. Now, he's been dealing with people who were Jews. They're not the children of Abraham. They're Jews. One lady in the Bible is called the daughter of Abraham. And I think she's a Syrophoenician woman. called the daughter of Abraham, and Zacchaeus, called the child of Abraham. I mean, there's a spiritual relationship he's talking about here. And the rest of the people didn't understand what he had to say. But those who have the truth in their soul will not say, except ye be circumcised, you cannot be saved. And anything else that is similar, they're going to say, the Old Testament is filled with God did it. The New Testament is filled with God did it. Today is filled with God did it. And I am just going to rest in Christ. All right. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And just hear the flood coming out, this water of heresy being spewed forth. And by God's grace, it stops. Jesus Christ said, if it be possible, the tests of the end will turn the very elect, but it's not possible. The heresy may come right to here. I mean, it gets so close. But God's people say, you know, there's a verse of Scripture about that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. My goodness. That deals with that subject, was Christ divine. Now, somebody's going to come along with their little Bible and say, well, it says a God. Well, tell that to Thomas. They left it alone there. Mm-hmm. My Lord and my God. You know, we just have to... The Bible speaks for itself. All right, going on here, it says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we say before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which is received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I speak to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And goes on and talks about what his relationship was before the Lord came and touched him. But I am so, I'm just so marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, the real issue here is being removed from him. That's the issue. Well, over there in the book of Revelation chapter 12, whatever it is, whatever is spewed out of the mouth of the great red dragon, out of the mouth of the devil, out of the mouth of his servants, out of this, any of that will be protected from entering into the body of Christ. He will. Now, if it takes away some, then that's just where they stood. There is a man mentioned in the book of Corinthians, and he's carried away. But then we read in 2 Corinthians, the Lord works on his people. They may get a little whiff of the water on the side, but after they're out, they want to be back. They want to be back. They want to be part of, because that's so shallow. So there's so much so much chaff that I want to be back. I want to be back. And that's what that man did. Now, he committed a great sin against God, against the church, and against his family and everything else, but he wanted back. And that just tells us a whole lot about that man. So, going back over here to the book of Revelation. The Lord shares with us in this. I'm not going through it just verse by verse as we have in other places. But the verse 6, the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God. And then it tells us here that the confession, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. And then it tells us in here in verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. And then it tells us here in verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. That's as long as God wants it taken care of. And then the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of that flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And so many people fell for it. Oh, yeah. That's not hard to take. Christ is not divine. We'll call him little Jesus. And the religious world today, they've got little Jesuses all over. Jesus said, you will hear in the last days. Here's Christ. There's Christ. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. So, there's this popping up all over, this heresy popping up. People fall for it, but in falling for it, it protects the church. The church is going to be protected. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I don't think that there's any more peace-loving people in the church of the living God. Just leave us alone. We won't bother you. We just want to be left alone. And then, oh, here comes this word, and that word, and this word, and that word. And things are said, things are done, but God is going to protect His body, going to protect His church. It will overcome. It will not be flooded over. It will not be plowed under. It will not be destroyed. It will be protected by God, just as we see throughout the Old Testament. The principles are there, carried out through the New Testament, and declared in the book of Revelation. God did it. And that's it. And He's continuing to do His work. And that's it. And the church rests on that. The finished work of Christ. Well, we're going to stop there tonight.